the burden of Tyre, chapter 23, verse 1. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in, from the land of Chittim it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters the seed of Sehor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the land. Something's trying to stop me, you think? Okay. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isles. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring all contempt, all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zion. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not, till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste, and it shall come to pass in the day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. After the end of the 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take a harp, go to the, about the city, you harlot that has been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication along with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up for her. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. There's got to be something good in here. Everything's trying to go against it. Okay. The burden, or literally the utterance concerning Tyre. Tyre speaks of rock. It says, how ye ships of Tarshish. Means a region of stone. Tyre and Tarshish in a lot of places is referred to as the same thing. Because it is laid waste. So this place of Tyre is laid waste. So that there is no house, and it says no entering in. It should say there is no house to enter. Now, if you go back and read the history about Tyre and Sidon, there was an island off the coast a little ways. And when there was an army coming against them, the Chaldeans, what they talked about here, when these people came, whatever the tribes was that came against them, this armies, they went out on this island and subsisted out there for a couple years. And the town that was on the sea coast, right from the island there, they tore the whole city down and built a road from here out to it to get to them to destroy them also. So they besieged them for years to get done what they had to do to build that road to where they could attack them out there on the island. They thought it was okay for a couple years, but they didn't make it. They got them anyway. And said, no house in it. And from the land of Chittim it is revealed to them. Chittim is the land of Cyprus. And even Cyprus is an island, isn't it? He says, be still, you inhabitants of the isle or the island. Thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And the word Sidon, and Tyre and Sidon almost always is always referred to together. The two places are right close together anyway. But it speaks of a fishery. Sidon as being a fishery. That pass over the sea have replenished. The merchants of Sidon, the fishermen, have replenished. And by great waters, or much water, the seed of Sihor. And Sihor is a dark branch of the Nile River. Okay, so in a dark place. And it's the harvest of the river is her revenue. Whatever this river gives up is what she gets. But it's a dark side. And she is a mart of nations. And the word nations literally doesn't speak of countries. It speaks of anybody that's non-Hebrew. That word means all of them that are not Hebrew or Israelites. So she's a mart for everybody outside, that we would say, the kingdom in our language today. It's for everybody in the world system. He said, "Be thou ashamed, O Sidon, because the sea, or humanity, has spoken, even the strength of humanity, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, or bring up virgins." What's that telling you? There's no reproduction, is there? There's no spiritual reproduction. They're just existing in their self. As the report concerning not Egypt, but all Egypt, and what is Egypt symbolic of? The world. So shall they be sorely pained, or literally travail, at the report of Tyre. So because Tyre was so important in that known world at the time, this big seaport that furnished so many people, what do you think it did to them? It would be like the port of Los Angeles or New York being wiped out in our society today. What would it do to us? Crippling. It would be a crippling effect for quite a while till something was changed, you know. So you understand why, in that analogy, you understand why they're going to be sorely pained or travail. It's really going to upset them because they've lost their what would it say, source of their stuff. It says, "Pass ye over to Tarshish," or Tyre, I should say Tyre. "How, you inhabitants of the island, is this your joyous city? Is this your source? You know, this is your joyous city, whose antiquity, or literally origin, is not of ancient days, like it says in the King James, but it says whose antiquity is from the east." And the east speaks of what? Religion. See, their source coming out of man's religion out of the east. Not God, but man's religion coming out of the east, the eastern religions. "Her own feet shall carry," or literally lead her, "afar off to sojourn." So, when he says her, who's he talking about? We have to take it inside.
The soul.
Absolutely. It's taken about my own thinking process. This is all about our internal works, isn't it? We have to realize that this is pointing to my own feet will carry me up. My own strength, my natural strength, my own self will carry me afar off to sojourn. Why? Because I don't want to face. Just like we were talking this morning about not wanting to hear God. That's why we keep so busy and everybody keeps their minds going so much. They don't want to hear from God. They're scared.
My feet, that's their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Their own lifestyle, their feet will carry them away. See? But by what you do, see, you're going to do it to yourself. Nobody's doing it to you, is it?
You're partaking of whatever it is.
Whatever the world wants to offer you. It said, "Who has taken this counsel against Tyre?" Who's done it? The crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. The honorable of the earth. And literally, who is that? The honorable of the earth. It's the ones that people esteem highly. But, you know, those who exalt themselves get abased, don't they?
It's your ego.
It's the ego of man. See, when I exalt myself too highly, I'm going to get slapped back down. I know it. So why even bother wasting my time? You see what I mean? No sense even trying to exalt yourself, because he said, if you exalt yourself, I will abase you. If you abase yourself, I will exalt you in due time. Okay, so wait upon God, and he'll take care of it. The Lord of hosts, literally the Lord of what?
The
masses, or the multitudes, has purposed it. So if God purposed to destroy this source, this Tyre and Sidon, okay, If God has purposed to take it down, to stain or to dissolve, literally, we should say, dissolve the pride of all beauty, not glory, but beauty, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. So he said, God's purpose this. He's going to take care of all the pride, the ego of man.
Isn't that rock? It's like taking, or it says he take the stony heart out.
Right, sure. But he's going to do it. It's nothing you can do to stop it, is there? Whatever he has purposed, it will come to pass. So we can hire all the preachers we want in the religious system, and they can tell you all their fairy tales they want to tell you, and it's not going to change one thing that God said he's going to do, is it? Not one thing. Pass through the your land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. And literally it should say there's no more restraint. It said, go on and go through. God's not holding you back anymore. You go ahead and go through and live your life the way you've got to live it, what you think is right, and you know God's going to deal with whatever has to be dealt with. Kind of be anxious for nothing? Just go on. He stretched out his hand over the sea, over humanity. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. God said he's going to destroy the strongholds of this city of Tyre. Tyre and Sidon is nothing more than our carnal mind. The source that's not of God, right? So guess what? If God said he's going to destroy all those strongholds in your mind, what's going to stop it?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's only in his time. And again, like we said, we was talking earlier, whatever he wants done is going to happen. There's nothing we're going to do to stop it. Period. That's just the way it's going to be. And he said that thou shalt no more rejoice, thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim, the Cyprus. There also shall thou have no rest. Okay? So he's saying, you've tried this. You've tried this, but it didn't work. Didn't know what the man system does. If this church don't work for you, go to another one, find another one. Just like the lady we were talking about this morning that had struggled so much from church to church. We've all done it. But passing from this realm to the next realm, still not going to answer because there's three we've got to go through. There's no rest in the first two realms. You're going to be laboring and working. But when you come into the Lord's day, the rest is there, isn't it? The day of the Lord is the day of rest.
There's no satisfaction.
In the first two realms, it's only temporal, if anything. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. And that's the clod breakers. They come in to destroy, but there's a purpose for them. This people was not until the Assyrian founded it for them. The Chaldeans I see as the first realm, the outer court. I see the Assyrians as the second realm, the Pentecostal realm.
It's going to break up that stony ground.
Sure is.
If we allow the rest of it to come.
Well, the word Assyrian even means a step or duality. Okay? So he said, till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwelt in the wilderness. They set up the towers, and those are siege towers, not just towers to play around in, but they set up towers to besiege the land. When they come up on a castle, how did they get into it? They had to build a tower to get up and get into it, didn't they? They raised up the palaces. Now, that word raised up is totally mistranslated. It literally says they demolished the towers. The palaces. They set up a tower to demolish the palace, didn't they? That's how they got into them. And he brought it to ruin. Who's he? See, God sent the Chaldeans. Read the book of Habakkuk. He entered why? He said, why, Lord? How long? When? How come you're letting all this evil go? He said, that's all right. I see how evil Israel is, but I'm sending the Chaldeans to take care of them. What did he say? Oh, good Lord. They're more evil than the Israelites. He said, yeah, I know. When I get done, I'll take care of them. When they get their job done, I'll deal with them. Don't worry about it. It's none of our business, is it? But God's going to send things in our life, people, situations, all these things, to take all this thought process out of our mind, to take this respect of man, to take all this religion and doctrine out of us. That's what's coming in our lives for. If we understand God is sending it to us to get us in a better position, to function as he wants us to function as sons of God, mature sons, then it's not so bad, is it? But if we think the whole world's against us just because they're against us, we're not going to have very much confidence to go on, are we? But this builds confidence to know that this is exactly the way God's wanting it. And I can accept that.
This is done this way so that the carnal mind, natural mind, can't understand it.
Yeah, carnal mind can't receive anything.
And from point A to B, it's not that straight line.
No, it's not a straight line. Absolutely not.
Our God's way is, and that's the shortest way.
Okay, verse 14, it says, "How, you ships of Tarshish?" What do you think he's saying there? How? They're wailing, crying, complaining. He said, you can do all the wah you want because your strength or your defense or your strongholds is laid waste. See, what you counted on isn't there anymore. Do you know how many people, if you take all their crutches away from them, there's nothing left? They'll fall on their face? Yeah. Our sufficiency is in Christ, not in all these things of the world, not in all of our thinking processes. I mean, all of us have to realize that there's things in our thinking process that need to be changed.
What's Tarshish again?
That's a region of stone. That's that, maybe like Lois said a while ago, you know, that stony heart that he's going to take out? He's going to deal with it by all these situations he brings in. Verse 15 goes on and says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten for 70 years, according to the days of one king. And after the end of 70 years, Tyre shall sing as a harlot." And what did I tell you Tyre was, really?
Rock.
Well, yeah, but look here.
Yeah, your mind.
That carnal mind.
Hard-headed.
It's that hard head thing again, you know. But she said, Tyre will sing as a harlot. Tyre being maybe that feminine side of her mind. Okay? Singing as a harlot. What's a harlot? Does it mean necessarily a prostitute?
Unfaithful
person. So that thing in me, that carnal mind, which is not faithful, right? Is going to sing as a harlot. As someone, it's going to do as someone unfaithful. And it says, take a harp, right? And that's man's type of worship. And go about the city, you harlot, right? Now, you know what this word harlot means here in verse 16? It speaks of a well-fed, therefore wanton and adulterous. Yeah, it's the church system, what they have created in our thinking process. See, it's not actually about the church, but it's about what the fruit they have created in our minds.
Well, they set religion.
The religion has been set in our mind. They've planted the seed in our mind that they've got everything under control. Just give us your money, and you come in here and sit down and shut up every week. Let us do our performance for you, and everything will be fine down the road. See, they have created this well-fed, wanton, adulterous situation in our minds. Because we don't feel we have to be, because they say, oh, don't worry, in most churches, if you can convince the preacher you're sincere about it, you made a mistake, he'll say, okay, well, forget it and go on, you know.
It's going to be kind of almost traditional thinking.
Oh, absolutely. It's what the church has created, a traditional thinking. It's all the traditions of man, what they've done. They don't understand what God is about, so they make their own. And that's the bad thing about the religious system. If they don't understand, they'll just either gloss over it, or they'll make up something to fit in there, and rather than taking the time to find from God, they'll just go on and do what they want to do.
That goes right along with your next sentence, what you're saying.
Yeah. It said, "You harlot that has been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs in order that you may be remembered." See? You can do all you want to try to get back in, but you know what? Once you're out, you're out. Once you've been outed as the carnal mind, how could you get back in?
Well, the thing of it is what I was saying was, once you get in that certain place, just keep singing them same songs. Keep singing, keep in the past.
Yeah.
You don't go forward.
Yeah. But see, but it's not even about that. But I see what you're saying, but it's not even about that. It's about what you think and hear about it.
It's kind of going around that mountain, doing the same thing.
Just repetition. But it's in our thinking is the bad part. It's not about actually doing those things, because when we're a child, we speak as a child and act as a child. When we grow up, we put away childish things. And that's the thinking process that we got to put away, isn't it? That childish thinking process. And the church has cultured children. That's all they do. See, it says here in that last part of that fourth verse, neither do I nourish up young men or bring up virgins. They're not reproducing anything practical. They're just what we call it, marking time in the service. You just stood and marched in the same place, never went anywhere. And that's all they're doing. They're marking time, waiting on the rapture bus to come and get them. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous to us now to even use that word, but that's in their culture. That's what they think. It's in their minds. And he's trying to tell us, it doesn't make any difference. You're, if that's what you want, you're going to walk in it. But I'm still going to take it out of you. It's up to God to do all this, not us. And it goes on and says, and it shall come to pass that at the end of 70 years that the Lord... not anybody else, but the Lord will visit Tyre. That's that carnal thinking thing. And she shall return to her hire. He's going to come to her, and she's going to go back to her hire. And that's the price of harlotry or idolatry. She's going to go back to it regardless, like the sow returning to the wallowing in the mud. And shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world. Did it say part of them? See, the whole world is polluted upon the face of the earth. Now, look what it says here. It says, she'll commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face. The face is panim. Huh? Yeah, but that face there represents what? The mind. So upon the mind of the earth. Guess what this word earth is? Adama. Upon the face, you can render it earth in the natural, but in the spiritual side, what he's saying, upon the home, on the mind of everyone in Adam, that's who she's going to commit with. Anybody caught up in the worldly thinking, in this Adamic thinking process through the man's system or the world, is going to go for it, aren't they? But when you come to the man of God or man or woman of God, are they going to go for it? No. And see, it says upon all the kingdoms of the world, upon the face of the earth. Didn't he say you're in the world, but you're not of the world?
It's that's echoing.
Yeah. We're not going to hear their echoes.
No.
We're going to listen to the truth, to the sound of it. Sheep hear his voice. And her merchandise, and literally the word merchandise should be profit. And the profit, her profit and her hire, and the word hire literally is harlotry and idolatry, shall be what? Literally where it says holiness in the King James, it should be honored as sacred or set apart. So her merchandise and her hire is used by the Lord. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
God's using it. It shall not be treasured up or stored up or laid up as hoarded up. So it should say it should not be stored up or hoarded up, because her merchandise or her profit shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for splendid clothing. Now, do you think it's all about the natural food and the natural clothing?
Fine clothing, that's...
It's his righteousness. It's his righteousness. See? So he said all that they're doing... Now look, at all the things that they're doing, all the harlotry, all the idolatry that's going through, and it's here in the mind. See, we can't take this external because we're going to lose the point. The point is all these things are going on in our minds. And in our minds, we have to take control of this thing and realize that everything that comes against you, every bit of confusion, every bit of this pressure, this thalipsis on us, every bit of this stuff coming is for whose benefit? They're not doing it to you. They're doing it for you. That's the beauty of this whole thing. And it's throughout the whole book. He's told us time and time and time again that this is for you. I'm doing it for you. I love you. That's why I'm changing you.
But the wealth of the
wicked is heaped up for the righteous. Okay? Same message, isn't it? It's just coming from so many different angles. He wants to make sure that you understand and get this message. You might have, he might have to tell you 1,000 times. Some of us are more hard-headed than others, ain't we? It can be just like our children. And his children is just like our children. Right? Sometimes we have to tell them a whole bunch of times to get them through it. But you know what? We're going to get through it.
But he is faithful.
He is faithful. He's going to do what he says. And you know what? He's going to take us in the next few chapters. It's going to be a while before we get back into him, but there's some good stuff that's going to show what he's going to do. And he just tells us over and over and over again, he's in charge of it all. He's going to do it all. And all we got to do is reside in our mind, resolve it in my mind that, you know what? I'm in charge of nothing, so why should I be worried about anything?